This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary.
There's a deadline headed this way, and fast. Tuesday is tax day, and maybe you're done, or you're trying like crazy to get everything in on time, or you've decided to hit the emergency button, also known as filing an extension. Maybe you're just plain freaking out. We called Kelly Phillips Erb. She's a tax attorney based in Pennsylvania. Welcome back, Kelly.
Thanks for having me back.
At this point, either people have got their taxes done or they're thinking, I gotta get an extension. But people may not know, even if you're filing an extension, you have got to pay your estimated taxes. How do you do that estimate? And what if you actually can't pay?
In terms of estimate, you know, there's no magic number. The IRS kind of, they want you to pay what you paid last year. I mean, that's a good rule of thumb. If nothing has changed remarkably, if you pay as much as you owed last year, you should be fine. So the penalties and the interest come when at the end of the extension, you still owe a bucket of money. So you want to try to approximate what you owe as much as possible. And, you know, it's kind of hit or miss, because even though we say things like try to pay what you think you'll owe, you know, there's always something that makes this year stand out a little different from last year, whether it's the tax brackets have changed, you had less in medical expenses, you sold a house, you know, it could be anything. So, you know, you try your best is what you do. If you can't pay, I mean, the IRS actually has a lot of options for making that work. You can enter into an installment agreement. You can pay a little bit now and pay a little bit later. Taxpayers shouldn't be frightened of making partial payments. It's not the end of the world to have a little bit of penalty and interest. And nobody wants penalty and interest, and your tax preparer will tell you that's an evil, terrible thing. But, you know, if you can't pay, on some level you can't pay. I mean, there are also other options that you could consider. You can put it on a credit card, for example. But, you know, it's really easy to say put it on a credit card if you don't have room on the credit card. Obviously, you know, that's not going to work. I know the IRS likes to say things like maybe you could take out a line of equity on your house. I mean, those can be pretty drastic measures if you only owe a little bit. So my best advice is always pay what you can and try to work out a payment plan to pay the rest. And don't panic about it.
How does a partial payment plan work anyway?
The IRS actually has an installment agreement online. You can actually never have to speak to a person about what you owe or your financials or anything that you don't want to talk about with another person. You can go to irs.gov and follow the links and enter into an installment agreement. Now, obviously, there's some restrictions and, you know, some limitations. The one to keep in mind the most is that you have to owe less than $50,000 to qualify for the installment agreement. And it's for individual taxpayers. Business taxpayers generally still have to go through the normal channels. If you don't feel comfortable doing it online, you can always call IRS and you can set something up through the phone system as well.
A lot of people file their taxes online or they do it themselves. But what's the point where it makes sense to hire somebody and pay them to help you out?
I don't think that there's a number where you say, if I owe X amount or if I make X amount, I need a tax professional. I think the most important one is your level of comfort and your time. Because if you are, for example, self-employed, you get paid when you work. If you've been spending a couple of days trying to figure out your taxes, you're not going to get paid. So there's kind of a time value of money that I think people need to take into consideration. I think people are often surprised if they've never used a preparer before to find out how inexpensive some of them can be or how economical and efficient it can be in terms of time. That said, just kind of from a practical standpoint, if things have changed in your life, I highly recommend using someone, you know, whether you've had a baby or whether you've gotten married in life events. You usually want somebody that can kind of help you get guided through the process, because it's my experience that the folks who are worried about getting their taxes done, it's generally not that they are worried about making a mistake. It's that they often are just kind of overwhelmed. And I think those people tend to under-deduct. You know, a tax preparer, they're going to look at your situation and they're going to say, you know, these are the three things that you might be able to deduct that I don't see anywhere on your financials. Let's talk about them. And I think that that can be invaluable.
There are also a lot of scams that pop up at tax time. What should you be wary of right now?
Oh, there's a bunch. This is actually a really interesting year because the IRS and the Inspector General have been working together to put the kibosh on some of these scams. And there's a couple of things to be aware of. When you hire a tax preparer, you want to make sure that they are credentialed and that they know what they're doing. The IRS, still require tax preparers that prepare returns for compensation, those folks still have to have a P10 number. It's P-T-I-N. You can think of it like a Social Security number for preparers. So the IRS knows who's preparing that return. Another thing to keep in mind is that if you owe taxes, if anything's gone wrong with your filing, most of the time they're going to contact you through a letter. They're not going to text you, they're not going to call you, and they're not going to email you. And a lot of these identity theft scams that are going on right now are from folks posing as representatives from the IRS. And kind of the most prevalent one right now is when IRS, allegedly, someone from the IRS, calls up folks, they're kind of targeting immigrants and the elderly in particular, and say, you owe money to us, we're going to arrest you tomorrow if you don't pay us now. And then they're asking for debit card information over the phone. Usually if the IRS calls you, it's because you've been engaged in conversations with them before and you've given them your contact information. But the IRS is also never going to threaten to arrest you over the phone. They're never going to use abusive language. Those aren't the kinds of things that the IRS would actually say.
Got it. Kelly Phillips Erb writes the blog Tax Girl and contributes to Forbes and other financial sites. Kelly, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thanks for having me.
There are more of Kelly's tax tips at marketplacemoney.org, plus stories we've collected about filing taxes for the first time. Here's Meredith in Washington, D.C.
I did TurboTax this year, so it helped me along. In my friend group, whereas we used to bitch about relationships or work or something, it's now become taxes. And whenever someone has a tip like, oh, I got this great deduction, that's what we share. And it's not shopping victories or memorable stories from nights out.